This is another episode of Stand Up Comedy, your host and MC, celebrating 40 plus years on the fringe of show business. Stories, interviews, and comedy sets from the famous and not so famous. Here's your host and MC, Scott Edwards.
Hi, and welcome to another special bonus show, an audience of one, and we're in for a treat. A really good friend of mine back from Minnesota is a very, very funny guy. You've heard him on the Bob and Tom show. He's had his own NPR radio show. He is world famous for being the man behind Vague But True. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Tim Bador.
God bless your hearts, or evolution honors your hearts for welcoming me back. Thank you. Thank you.
Well, we're so excited to have you back on the podcast, Tim. So what have you been up to? You got some funny for my audience?
Well, I have a story that could have gone to the worst place for any comedian possible. It happened on your stage. Thank goodness it was not as bad as it could have been. But I was up at your club, up from L.A., and prior to that, months before that, some friends of mine, Jake Johansson, one of them, who you know as Jake, one of the best comics of my generation, yeah. 47 Lettermans, set the record. He appeared on Letterman as a comic more than anybody else. So he was one of my contemporaries, good friends in L.A., and a guy named John Ross, who was also super funny. And they were both way into health, and they convinced me that I needed to be juicing. That was one of the big things back then, that everybody got a juicer, and you got raw vegetables, and you juiced. And it could be beets and celery and apples and parsley and all kinds of things. So I started doing that. And on the way up, I'm literally driving up from L.A. to Sacramento, saying to myself, you know, Jake and John are right. I feel good. I feel better. Just, you know, like there's a little more energy, and it's the juicing. So I get up to Sacramento. I believe it was a Tuesday night. And I think on Tuesday nights, you had two for ones or some special to start the week. So the place was packed. And this is back in the club that was in the basement.
Yeah, our big main room right on Firehouse Alley. Yeah, that Tuesday night, two for one Tuesdays. Yeah, it was awesome.
So, you know, there's 240 people, and it's a packed house. And typical of comedy clubs, especially if there's not a second show, you wanted to know from me, how long did I want to do? So you know when to send out the checks, 15 minutes before the end of the headliner's closing set. So I said 60 minutes. So that's what you were planning on. So I'm standing there on stage, and I just happened to know, maybe looked at my watch or where I was in the set, 43 minutes into the set, I felt a wave, a tsunami of distress in my abdomen.
Oh, that's scary.
It went from low to high, and it ended up in my chest. And I could feel internal organs changing positions and this roll, this tsunami of bad happened, and it was so strong that my voice skipped. It was like the needle came out of the groove. Oh, and I just, it changed, you know, the word ended and I had to restate the word again. And it was just the most powerful thing I've ever felt internally in my body. And I couldn't, one, believe what it was. Two, was that a heart attack? Did intestines burst? Did the appendix blow up? I mean, it was just astounding. And I'm on stage.
Yeah, I mean,
in front of 224 people.
Yeah, the audience has to know you're in the middle of a set trying to be funny, yeah, doing comedy.
And all of a sudden, boom, this wave happened, and it was freaky. You know, I'd never felt before or since anything like that happened internally. But then, amazingly as well, it just was gone, and I was fine.
Oh.
And I was really thinking, should I continue? Or should I just excuse myself and something happened, folks, and I've got to get off stage? But then I literally felt totally normal. It had come and gone within seconds. And I thought, well, I'm going to continue. So, and this is all going through as I'm speaking in my mind. I'm also thinking, what's the strategy here? What should I do? And I look, and now it's like 45 minutes into the 60-minute set. So I started into a long and a routine that you know well about scuba diving. And so it's kind of a long story. It's a long setup. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, maybe you don't want to do the long setup stuff if you have to get off stage in a hurry. But I went into it anyway. So at about, you know, 45 minutes into the set, I feel a second wave of just horribleness in my gut, in my internal organs. Man. And it again goes from low to high. It rolls just up, and my voice skipped. And I knew it was, I could choose within a small range, time, space, where this was going to happen, but it was going to happen. I was going to not throw up. I didn't have that kind of sickness. I had the worst bowel distress that anybody could possibly have. And as it turned out, it was food poisoning from raw vegetables, thanks to Jake and John.
They're trying to make you healthy and in the same time trying to kill you.
Oh, so that second time that it happened, I knew what it was, and I knew it was going to be within seconds, that I would not be able to control it. My body was going to get rid of a lot of bad stuff. You just knew it.
I'm right on stage. Oh, God.
And right on stage. And so I'm literally starting this long story routine. And right in the middle, I said, thank you. Good night. And just turned. So I went backstage, went out into the audience, and saw that there were just people sitting almost in the aisles. I mean, it was just sold out show. And I couldn't get to the bathroom that was back all the way across the room. And I thought, oh, my God. And I don't want them to see me panicked and running. So I went upstairs, and you had that bar over the showroom that was called the Magic Bar, the Top
Magic Hat.
Magic Hat Bar. And so I went through there because I knew there was a bathroom at the other end of the hallway. So I ran. I mean, and the people upstairs, hey, the headliner's running through the through the bar. The show's not over. What's happening? I got to the bathroom, and just as I was getting into the toilet, I'm getting my pants down just as the waistband of my pants clears the barrel.
Great imagery. Boom.
I mean, and just explosion. And I know this is going to be maybe a little too graphic, but this is what happened. It was such bad food poisoning and had happened so fast and was so foul. I was starting to gag just from the odor. I was coughing from the horribleness that was inside and had just exploded. And immediately, it was just so amazing. I start the cold sweats. You were sweating, but also cold. The chills started happening. I'm shaking. I'm exploding externally down. I'm on the toilet, rocking back and forth in pain. I am almost shouting in pain as wave after wave decided to leave. And sweating, and I'm thinking I'm dying. And I had no idea at the time what this was, but it was just this incredible thing. And So I sat there for 10 or 12 minutes, just, you know, battle after battle, cannon blast after cannon blast, just awfulness. And the smell, and I'm choking, and I'm just sweating. And finally, it kind of stops and settles down. And I'm thinking that maybe I dodged the worst bullet ever, because if I had just waited 30 more seconds, it would have happened on stage.
Oh my
God. And then what?
And as the club owner, can I just say thank you for not doing that on stage, but also, I guess, maybe not thank you for redecorating my bathroom.
Wow. I mean, and I don't even know, I mean, who had to get in there and do what, but this is what happened. So now I'm standing there or sitting there, and I'm thinking, you know, I got to get up and explain to you what happened, why I left the stage before ending my show. And you didn't even have the checks out. I remember that. You didn't have the tabs out. So, you know, the audience had to sit there for a while as the waitresses, waiters would bring out their check. So, and it could have been 12, 13, 14 minutes that I was sitting on the toilet. And I'm thinking, I got to get up, clean up, you know, get the sweat off and just get to a hospital or something. Because I was still very sick feeling and weak. But right then, the door to the bathroom starts to open. And through the crack in the stall, I look out and I can see that the audience is starting to come upstairs. And they want to get into this bathroom. But the door, they'd open it and somebody would walk in a step or two and a wave of awful odor hit them and they would turn around and leave.
Oh, gosh.
So every now and again, somebody would open the door and now you could kind of sense that they were curious what the hell died in here that is so awful. And there was a line starting. Every now and again, the door would open, and I could see, like, you know, five and now six and now eight guys and all these curious looks. So finally, one person opens the door. He just blows past the line. They maybe, other people told him, there's something bad going on in there, man. You don't want to go in. And he'd, whatever. And he opens the door, and he boldly walks towards the urinal about two, three steps, and then kind of does the Charlie Chaplin backwards on one heel, arms waving in the air thing. His eyes, I could see through the crack in the stall, his eyes widen and his nostrils flare. And he starts, you know, trying to move backwards. And he just said, "Whoa, fella." So like I was a horse or something.
Well, that's, I mean, you're graphically explaining something that I think everybody's experienced sometime in their life. And I think we all would agree that we'd rather be home when those experiences happen. So yeah, to be on stage when that wave hits you. Oh, it just goes to prove, everybody in the audience, comedy isn't always pretty.
Oh, man. Can you imagine? I mean, that would be so scarring emotionally if that had happened on stage. I might never have worked again. I mean, it just, the memory would be so bad. So he turns around, "Whoa, fella," and spins around and walks back out. And then I think, oh, geez, now what? So clean up, wash up. And I think there's still a line of people out there. And I walk out, I put my head down, I'm looking at the floor, and as I walk out, they were just kind of stunned, and one person said, "It's him."
Wow. I was going to say, how did you escape the bathroom? Because there's no way around the situation, and at some point you had to kind of own up and get out of there.
Yes, and I was afraid of that as much as anything, that, you know, they would, it was just, "It's him." That was it. So I went downstairs and told you what happened, and I think somebody drove me in my car back to the comedy house, and somebody followed them, and the next, that night, I was just, shaking, chills, fever, more. But, you know, I was totally evacuated at that point. There was nothing left in there. Then it was just, and you got me a doctor's appointment the next day, and they explained it sure sounds like food poisoning. And I remember you tried to get somebody to fill in, at least for a night, Wednesday night, and couldn't find anybody. And we were going to cancel the show. And this is, you know, it's just the thing about show business where the show must go on. It truly is one of these feelings that you have, that you have this obligation. And if you're alive, you got to try. And so, and it's the only time in my life that I ever did a set from the stool. I sat because I didn't have any energy. I couldn't eat and I had no energy and I was, you know, feeling bad, but I tried it and it, you know, it worked out. I sat on the stool for about 45 minutes and did the show from there. And it's actually a good experience. Just another way to work. Became, I think, kind of more personal because you're just sitting there talking as opposed to performing. So it was a good experience that way. And through the week, I made it through the week and got better. But it still haunts me to think, had the first wave been the second wave, I would have been standing there on stage and I think I was wearing khaki pants. It would not have been good.
Well, thank you for sharing that very intimate and personal story. Tim Bedore, ladies and gentlemen, an audience of one, a special bonus show. Now, we all know the scary backroom stories of professional entertainment live on stage, but I think it ends well because, as we've all heard our whole lives, the show must go on. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for joining us. Tim, thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, well, eat healthy, but not any ground vegetables, and we'll see you back next week for another great show. Thanks for joining us. Bye. Ladies and gentlemen, that was a special bonus episode with our friend Tim Bedore, comic headliner, but also the creator of the podcast, The Agnostic's Guide to Heaven. So if you get a chance, check out his podcast, An Agnostic's Guide to Heaven. We want to thank you for listening. We'll see you Sunday for our new show. Bye.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Stand Up Comedy, Your Host and MC. For information on the show, merchandise, and our sponsors, or to send comments to Scott, visit our website at www.standupyourhostandmc.com. Look for more episodes soon and enjoy the world of stand-up comedy. Visit a comedy showroom near you.